I really like the kind of hand wash that gives like a really clean feel after you finish washing.
You know
Do you know
those
what I
very,
mean?
very, very old-fashioned soap? 就是洗衣
No,
服
that's
那
too
种
much.
？No，
Nah, that's too
I like
much.
those. I don't want anything to be, you know those.
Greasy
Yeah.
to feel like fake, artificial,
Yeah, that's why
like
I don't really like Dettol hand
slippery.
wash. Yeah, I don't like the Dettol hand wash because they feel slippery.
Yeah, the new hand wash I got is really good.
Okay, good to know.
Please sponsor us now. Jokes.
Okay, welcome back to
That's
the.
it's a Dettol one, by the way. It's a
Okay.
different line from Dettol. It
Sure.
feels really clean but not over drying like bleaching like those old soaps.
Okay.
Well, anyways, hey
Welcome
guys.
back to another episode of the Trash Taste. Oh my God. What did I just
Oh
welcome back to an episode of the Trash
God.
Out
Are you gonna cut that out? Oh no.
podcast. I'll leave it in. Okay,
Free plug.
we have a comment from one of our listeners because
Seriously? I'm so scared.
okay. So the previous episode that was uploaded last week, it was we briefly talk about you asked me what kind of city I want to live in and you briefly described yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you not remember at all?
I do remember. No, I'm just scared to hear what the comment is.
So
I'm scared.
you no
Don't
no
tell
like it's a
me.
good one. Okay, it's a good one
Okay.
because you said that you want to live in a place that has nature but well-maintained nature. You
Yeah.
know those? And the comment was like, Kath 可能喜欢, oh, the name is Hou Shuqi. The listener said, Kath 可能会喜欢 Nara or 或者杭州这两个城市，我觉得气质有点相似。
Oh, okay, I'll reply at them
Okay.
after I finish recording.
Have you been to Hangzhou? Because we've been to Nara together.
I have been to Hangzhou, but ages ago, like
Okay.
maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you
And all I
like?
remember, and because I went with my parents, it was very much like a touristy trip. So just like, you go to all the famous places and you like da ka.
Okay. I've been there
So it was
for a
less.
day. I wouldn't call that a travel, right?
Yeah. And I wouldn't call it like trying to live in a city if you're just doing the touristy stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if I go now, I'll probably, stay for a little bit longer, have like a more chill trip instead of just like going between the famous photo spots and things
Okay.
like that.
Nara, do you like Nara?
I think we were only there for,
2 hours?
yeah, for a very short
To be honest,
amount
I
of
actually
time.
thought Nara was part of Osaka going there.
I mean, it's very
Yeah,
close.
that is real. Like,
Yeah,
I thought it's
they are
just a
very
part
close.
of Osaka.
I think I would like it actually.
That's too much deer. The deer is too aggressive for
No,
me.
but we went to the deer park.
Yes,
Of
yes.
course, there's too many deers in the deer park.
Yes.
But remember, we actually went around that area a little bit. We went
It's pretty
to,
spacious. I
yeah.
remember the roads are pretty wide and stuff.
Yeah, I think it might be fun to live there.
Okay. Sure.
But I don't know what else is in Nara because I didn't explore the city. But I remember like the ambience was nice. It was quiet but not like
Bustling.
deserted.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that feel.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Reply, remember.
Yes, I will.
Okay. So, what are we talking about today?
Today I want to talk about something specific. So last week, oops, just let me adjust this for a second. Nope.
Just bring the mic up.
I know.
Up.
I know. I know.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So, this week we had another workshop on communication. So, have you released the one where I talked about?
Of course
Well,
not.
you're gonna release in order
Yeah, of
anyways.
course, yeah.
Yeah, so in the last episode I should have talked about this workshop that we went to, where our group was getting us trained on how to give speeches slash presentations more effectively to an audience, of various sizes and background. So it was titled like giving an elevator pitch, but we actually went into details of the human, I guess, psychology of how to communicate. And we talked about, so last week we talked about things like giving a first impression and how long it takes for someone to take in, to make a first impression of you at first meeting, and also ways, like what are the most impactful tools in a talk or a speech or a presentation, and you know, how like coming up with the objective is the more important thing. And like, yeah, basically last week we talked more on the practical things about giving a presentation. And then this week, or like the last workshop that I attended, we talked more about communication styles and how to fit into the communication styles of your audience. Don't get sleepy yet. I know I'm getting technical here, but it actually was not technical at all. We actually did it in a very, very interactive way. And this week, I actually noted down who the person was. And
was it the same person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they gave us this. Yeah. So she's going to be the person that gave us the whole training for 3 weeks.
What? That's so long.
No, it's just one session each Friday.
Okay.
For 2 hours.
That's pretty long for me.
It is very long, but that's why I said last week, that's why she is very impressive. Like, she makes the 2 hours very engaging, and she planned this thing very well.
Okay.
Like last week's was even better. Like, we were all super, super engaged, and she just really showed how what's the thing? How impactful it can be to be a good communicator.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we actually got a lot out of it. But I want to start with what we learned, the key thing that we learned this week, which was communication preferences. So, basically,
Kath actually has a stack of notes in front of her.
This is actually the notes we have for the workshop.
Okay.
And there's like a lot of words on here, which I don't want to write down and remember. So that's why I brought it with me.
Yeah.
But the idea is that we tend to think that we're different because people have different personalities. So you probably have heard about personality tests such as MBTI, you know, 16 personalities.
Mm.
And also all those different ones. I don't know what the English is, but there's in Chinese there's the 大五人格测试.
Really?
Or was it 五大? Anyway, something like that. But basically, there's a lot of personality out there, personality tests out there that's being popularized and even commercialized.
Mm.
But what this psychologist / person that trained us emphasized on was that often when we feel there's a clash of personalities, it's actually a clash between different communication preferences. And this particular person called Bill Birnbach, who actually grouped people's communication preferences into like four broad categories that's divided by abstract versus concrete. So on the y-axis is from abstract to concrete, and on the x-axis is from rational to intuitive. It's a little bit similar to how we think about personalities, but this is more in tune with people's communication preferences. And one thing that I like to highlight before I go into more details is that this communication preferences is very much fluid, so which means that it changes during different times and different situations. Like, for example, if you are feeling tired, you probably would default to your like most, I guess, original communication preferences. Whereas if you're feeling energetic and passionate and, you know, just top of your game that day, then you are more likely and more able to tune into the communication preferences of your audience or other people around you, and therefore able to make your communication more effective. So having said that, this is very much fluid and changing, and also not trying to group people into boxes and not trying to say that one particular preference is better than the other. This is just our preferences, just like how humans are different. And you are not like feeder automatically feeding our cat. Enjoy dinner, Peppa. Okay, anyways, so you will be more in tune with one particular type of preference, but as I said, just like your personality just like every other trait of humans. You probably have you probably expand your preferences into several different categories as well. It's just like you most likely, you have the most commonality with a particular category. That's what I'm trying to say. And I bring this today because we talked about things like you probably will know what the communication preference of your most intimate partner or close friends or families, because you only get to know someone's communication preferences when you know them really well, when you've seen them in different situations, because like I said, this is fluid and so it changes over time, so it's hard to tell straight away what someone's personality preferences are, but there are tricks, and she told us about the tricks as well, which I'm going to share later. So firstly is I want you to look at this grid and tell me what your personality preference is, and you just have to look at the descriptive words in the four different colors and look at which one you synthesize with the most.
Okay, so
and I am going to make a guess about which one I think you are. Okay,
so the first box you got quantitative, logical, critical, factual, technical, rational, mathematical, problem solving, systematic.
Is that the green color?
No, that's the blue one.
Oh, that's the blue color. So that's the direct and to the point one. So communication. So in terms of communication preferences, that means you like to be communicated in a way that's systematic and direct and to the point. Yep. Cut the chase. Yep. Yeah. No
waffle.
Next
one is visual, conceptual, imaginative, curious, risk takers, like surprises, spontaneous, artistic, innovator.
Yeah. So this is yellow, right?
Yeah, this is yellow.
Yeah, so this type of people like to be communicated in a way that highlights the big picture, and it's like inspiring, and they like feedbacks and the story. They just like the overall big picture, and they're like thinkers and innovators.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sequential, control, detailed.
This is green.
This is green one. Sequential, detailed, organized, conservative, reliable, timely, planner, and decisive.
Yeah, so these are the very practical people that like...
What's the difference between this one and the blue one?
Yeah, I'm trying to explain. Yeah. So the green color means that they like details and they like the practicality of things. So instead of asking... So the blue people like to ask what. They try to get the what from the presentation or the talk. Whereas the green people focus on the how. How do we actually establish this thing?
Okay,
how do we actually realize this idea? So they focus very much on the practical details and they like that as much as possible.
Okay.
Yep.
The last one is emotional, musical, expressive, empathetic, talker, supportive, teacher, social.
Yeah, so this is red, and red people very much focus on the humility aspect of every project and every talk.
Humility?
Humility, okay. Yeah, so the human aspect.
Yep.
So they like the communication style where it's inclusive, where it addresses the need of everyone on the team, where it considers the human aspects of the project, not only the how and the what, not only the cold-hearted stuff. Mm. So as you can see, like when you move like horizontally or vertically through the colors, so for example, from... blue to yellow or blue to green, that you can see some overlaps between them, right? Between like the two colors.
First one and the last one is pretty extreme.
Exactly. So however, if you go on a diagonal, then those people are less likely to relate to each other.
Yeah, people can't see the graph, so you can't say they're diagonal.
But I did say like X and Y axis. So it's like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a grid of four squares.
Sure.
So...
I think...
So you can... Let's guess what each other's communication style is based on what we know about each other.
It depends on what kind of thing you're communicating, right?
Yeah. But there is one that you default to most likely. Like, or there is one that you relate to the most majority of time. Like, that's the thing that you feel easiest with.
The aspect that you value the most when other people are communicating to you.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
Okay. For you,
I'm a difficult one.
I think it's a green one. like sequential, controlled, detail, organized, conservative, reliable, timely, planner, and decisive.
You think I like that communication style?
You like that. You would prefer someone to do it that way for you. In terms of your work, in everyday life, I think you're emotional, musical, expressive, empathetic, talker, supportive, teacher, social. Yeah, I think the last one is for your, yeah, emotional, musical, expressive, especially the supportive and social bit. You would value that.
For other people to communicate with me.
Yeah,
I know. But I think I'm actually yellow.
Yeah. Curious, sure.
So when we did the test on the day, how we did it was that she had a deck of cards that.
Wait, you prefer the yellow people to, like, the people that communicating is the yellow zone?
That's the communication style that I prefer to receive. Oh, actually, let me tell you the result of the test from
no, no, no. Like, are you saying is this the no? Like, is this your way of communicating or your way of preferred receiving?
It's both, because your communication preferences will represent how you like to receive it, as well as what is your most default way of trying to communicate with others, because you communicate in the way that you like to receive. So that's why people in the same communication preference will get along with each other very well.
I don't agree with that because some people, they are very, very ranty and not get to the point, but they prefer to get things that's get to the point.
No?
Okay. No, my mistake then. No,
your communication style represents both how you like to do it and how, like, what is the most comfortable way you like to communicate with others.
Makes sense.
And then how. So basically, it's like when you feel like someone is speaking your language, quote unquote, speaking your language, that basically means that person is communicating in your preferred style, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's why it's the same color both ways. But okay, let me talk about a little bit on the context of how I got my result, which is actually not any of the colors that we just mentioned. So how I got my results on the day was that the instructor had a deck of cards that was from this is a simplified version of this test, which you can find the full version online. And the simplified version basically has a deck of cards. Each one has a color and a word, like a descriptive adjective related to that communication style. For example, for blue, there were things like what was the word? I think like definitive was one of the blue word. Mm-hmm. And for yellow, it was like adventurous was one of the words I can remember for yellow. And for red, it was something like harmonizing. And for green, it's like controlled. So it's different color cards with these words on it and a little diagram and the definition of the words in the context of this. And so we basically went around and we picked the cards that we most sympathized with. And in the end, we each had five cards, and the majority of the colors that we had in our deck represented our dominant communication preference. Sure. And my result was actually blue.
Okay.
So, which to an extent makes sense. And I've still been thinking about this, and I feel like I'm a complicated person in a way, because I cover a lot of the different aspects. But I think it does make sense when I got blue, because I was thinking more in a work situation, and I like the information to be given directly without waffle. And I am more related to the yellow and the green, because I like taking risks and I like the high risk, high benefit, high reward like style when I work in a lab.
Gambler, sure.
I am. Yes, I am a gambler. And I like...
No, you should not say that. You're like, Catherine is not a gambler. She's just saying that. She doesn't gamble any money, okay? Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't gamble any money, but I gamble in like... life decisions.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Okay.
Or like lab experiment plans. I'm the kind of one, people that take risks and like the big picture. I like direct information given to me. Mm. And I sometimes like things to be methodical and like step by step.
Now I had another chance to look at the four categories. I can't say that one communication way is better than the other, because if you do either one of those four extremely well, I think you will be a very good communicator regardless. Right?
That's actually wrong.
No?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's
the point of this.
Well, let me try to rephrase that. You need some of each aspects when you're communicating a message across.
Exactly.
For example, yeah, okay. I'm so good. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a guess at mine?
This, yeah. Okay. But I just wanted to follow up on what you just said. So the point of this communication preference thing is not only to make you realize what you default to, but also the most important thing that you should take away is that all of us have, or like just everyone that you're trying to communicate to, will have different preferences encompassing all of these characteristics, right? And the point of being a good communicator is, it's not written on that page, but basically it says like good communicators say what they want to communicate.
Yeah.
Very clearly. But an excellent communicator says what the audience wants to hear.
Mm.
So the point of being a great communicator is that you need to have something that makes everyone happy, that covers all of these four aspects.
Yep.
Because if you're communicating to an audience, you just will have this division in communication preferences. And if you want to reach all of them, if you want all of them to get your message, then you have to cover all of these to be a good communicator.
Yep. I agree, definitely.
Yeah. So let me look at this again before I make a guess.
I think mine is pretty easy to guess.
What we also said is like, when it comes to partners, opposites attract. Because they complement each other. And if you have two people that have complementary communication styles, they like get the work done, basically.
Or they don't get each other at all.
No. It's like they do get each other because they put in the effort to. So it's like despite their communication style, despite whatever difficulty they have to face to communicate each other, they still are willing to make that change to like adapt for each other's sake.
Let me just, because our listener can't see it, so the blue one is like the logical stuff.
Is the what?
Yeah, and the green one.
I have a better summary on the next page.
No, look. Okay. The blue one is because they can't see it. Okay, you need to tell them.
Yeah, so there's the one word.
Blue one is the what, and the green one is the how, and the yellow one is the risk takers, artistic innovator, and the last one is emotional, basically. What you want.
I have a one word summary I wrote.
Okay.
I said it's here. So blue is what, green is how, yellow is why, and red is who.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Take a guess at what's mine.
I think you're green.
Green is what?
How?
Oh, how? No.
Are you blue?
Yes, I'm a blue, but I'm a blue that's really good at red.
Like to make people believe that you care about the people?
No. I can, because I figure out, because I taught.
Because the keyword teacher?
No. Like it's definitely not because, I don't think teacher should be in there, to be honest. Because what I want to say, I figure out, I think for a good teacher, like the teacher that knows the stuff, you need to say what really well, right? That's to get the main message across, yeah?
And is that how you like to be communicated?
Yeah, and it is up to, you have to, but it is for the red zone, like who, you need to be able to make your lesson engaging. Otherwise, your student's going to fall asleep.
I think that's why I thought you were green.
And,
because it's in between.
And
these two.
After the students get the red, so that's why they can I am interested in this, and they will go for the how and why. Like, you don't want to go for the how and why first. You want to spark their curiosity. That's not how I would want to get communicators, because sometimes I don't care about the how and why. But
so
I do need the results.
You just want people to get in the points.
Like, that's the bare, like, the requirements that they need to get. And
I think you are blue, because you always ask me to just get to the chase when I tell you
exactly
something. Or when there's a lot of information, you're just like,
just give me the main sentence.
You like to be communicated in blue. But you have to take in consideration of the other two.
I'm a blue that's good at red.
But you have to do all of them, basically.
Yeah, of course.
To engage your audience, because your audience is a class of more than 10 people. So then that's likely to have all the different communication preferences, and therefore to engage all of them, you have to cover what they want. But of course, like I said, this is definitely...
Which one of this do you think that you're the least... Like, you're the worst at, like,
when
which,
I'm communicating.
Yeah, because for a different group of audiences, you might go for a different technique to communicate, right?
Yeah.
Because if someone is really, really emotional, there is no way that you can talk logic and sense to them, and you just have to go from the back of the brain to the emotional side, right? Which one of this do you think that you are least good at?
I think I'm least good at red, and that's why I think, even though I had my doubts of like whether I'm blue or yellow, I think the reason why I settle with blue is because I'm worse at red.
Okay.
So the reason I'm worse at red is because like how I'm saying this now, like how I always do my presentations and stuff. Like, the thing that people raise during my presentations is always about the human aspects of things. So how do I say this? Like, one of the feedbacks that I got recently on my work is that, Kath, you're doing excellent at this technique that you're optimizing and at building this pipeline to address the lack of like mature analysis tools for this particular data that you're generating. But you should always remember that the strength of your project and the strength of your background of doing research at Melanoma Institute is always the clinical side, the engagement with real patients. You should always highlight that aspect of your project, and you should always be able to articulate that well. And you need to, you know, make that, how do I say this?
Connection?
No, it's like, don't let the technical side define who you are, but rather you should let the clinical strength, like, you shouldn't define yourself by the technique, but by the questions.
Okay.
By the context.
Okay.
The humility part.
Okay.
Which I'm, of course, like, not...
That scared
taking
me. Okay, sure. Okay. The big witch. Okay, sure. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Like, this is just the feedback that I got, which I'm, you know, not... I have my own opinions about it. Like, I do take that into consideration, but not, like, following that completely as well. But it is something that tends to come up in the feedbacks I get, which is like, I tend to be more focused on the technical side, basically. And I usually do it by focusing on the blue side. I quantify things. I say things in a very systematic way, and I just show them directly what it is. And sometimes, because of the nature of these projects, I go into the why and the how, right? I have to break things down into steps of how to illustrate how we get there. And I need to paint the picture, the overarching idea, the major concepts by telling them a story from my data, tease out the story. So that's why I tend to miss out on the red, and I tend to get majority of questions from my emotional audiences. And also I feel like another reason why I feel like I lack on the red is because this is, my mom is definitely a red, and we always clash when I am when I'm tired or when I'm stressed, because when you're tired and stressed, you default to your most comfortable style, most comfortable preferences. So I become the blue, and I just get to the point when we call each other, I just like, what's up? Can you just tell me what's up? When she's rambling on about all the things surrounding what is happening or the situation. And I feel like in those cases, I can't relate to her and I can't get to her. And she feels hurt because I'm too direct and she feels like I'm cold. So red definitely tends to feel that the red, that the blue people are cold. Like, yeah, they're just too concise.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, now you said that, I think when I was young, I was not a blue. My mom kind of trained me to become a blue because she is always like, when you're communicating someone, you need to get to the chase. You need to get the main message across. Don't be like your dad, because your dad just rambles on and on and on and not get to the point. So my dad is definitely a red, and he used that people skill to gain their trust and do stuff. But my mom,
that's a very interesting thing I wanted to talk about as well. So there is no, actually, much research has been done on this topic, which found that there is no gender split between the communication preferences, but there is a strong trend of career choices, career paths.
Okay.
So people of the different communication preferences will diverge in terms of their careers. So that's why
different professions will get different uses percentage-wise for each one of them, and they'll get rewarded for what they are good at, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I
also... how did you become a blue?
Just by constantly just let my... like my mom just says, just cut to the chase. Like, think about what you want to say and say that sentence first.
Yeah, nature and versus nurture, right? We also talked about this. Oh, very interesting thing, but I'll talk about it later.
Yeah,
you go
and
first.
At Sydney Grammar, we had this, I can say the school name, don't worry. I ask about my science coordinator. He's like, yeah, you can be urban about our Sydney Grammar.
Okay.
You should wear us
as a badge, probably.
At Sydney Grammar, every single term, at the start of the first day, we had a teacher continue education course. The first day for term three, which we kind of just did a few weeks ago, it's about how to communicate students with anxiety. And the main message was to try not go from the logic side, but to the emotion side. Because just imagine, he took an example. If you have a wife or a husband that has a long day of work and he's like, my boss is treating me so badly, and you would not want your partner to be, let me just give you the logic way of what you should do next, because this is the last thing that you really need. Same thing to a very anxious student with a lot of stress. You need to stop being so reasonable and logical, because they don't want answers. They want to be relatable. They want to get trust. They want to have someone to be able to talk to, right? But with that being said, you're a teacher. It's very hard to get students to open up to you, right? Because they don't even open themselves up to a lot of their friends or parents. Why do you expect a teacher?
Sometimes it's easier to open up to a stranger.
Very, very rarely. Unless you don't know the stranger at all.
I mean, I guess that's the role of
psychologists
right? To be the unbiased, anonymous, no strings attached person.
But still, and he always says that when you get a student that is very open about going to a psychiatrist, other people will judge him. right? Because they will think, oh, is there something that I should be careful of when I like talk to that person? Is there, because they feel like that person is being very vulnerable and they're scared to talk to those that are vulnerable. They're scared that they'll hurt them.
That's so bad. I feel like looking after your mental health and seeing psychiatrists should just be normalized.
It is, should be, right? Yeah. But we are
because
not
so
at the stage
yet. Because
so
many people are doing it.
Yeah, we're not at that stage yet.
Yeah, and a lot of scientific evidence backs like the benefits of doing that.
Exactly. And in China, that thing is not even a thing right now, to be honest. Like the mental health side.
It's getting better slowly, but yeah.
People don't even take meditation, really.
It's
what's the word?
Seriously?
Seriously, thank you. Yeah. They don't even take meditation very seriously. And they were like, well, this is just magic.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why it's important to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to talk about these things. Yeah.
Mm.
Where was I going? It's very interesting you mentioned the nature versus nurture, because when we started to have a bit of a discussion around this topic, someone brought up the fact that from her experience of living in different countries, she can get the sense that different countries have a dominant color, different dominant colors.
Yeah, I can see why as well.
Yeah, exactly. So you can just tell. So, and one thing I brought up was that not only do like a certain society are structured in a certain way to breed a certain kind of communication preference, because that communication preference or style is probably more successful in that culture and background or society, right?
Mm.
But just the fact, just the simple fact, if you think about the languages and how they're spoken, you can tell by that it's probably associated with a more dominant color.
Yeah.
Just like how previously we talked about the foreign languages thing, how we
do our personalities change or do things change?
Yeah, and also the differences between, like, we had some extreme examples like the Japanese versus maybe Mexican people. Like, you can just see different colors. You can see the red versus maybe the green, right?
Yeah, I can see that Australia is very, very much in the red zone.
Actually, Australia, like relatively, so from the person who had experience living in different countries, I think I can say her countries because it's anonymous. So she's lived in Portugal, New York, so America.
Okay, that's pretty red.
and then Australia.
Okay.
And she thinks relative to her spectrum of experiences, Portugal is red.
Portugal's red, sure.
Portugal's red. America, so US, is more
New York, because people have different things in
that's
America.
True. That's true.
New York,
I think she said, is definitely a mix, but more on the yellow side.
Because you get a different clash of different cultures, so it's very hard
but
to
also
say.
Think about the background that she has, right? This is just
it's a relative thing, right?
That's
it's
what I'm
relative.
Saying. It's that's why I said it's in her spectrum of experiences. New York is more yellow, so she moved from red to yellow. And then, so therefore to her, relatively, Australia, or at least her experience so far in Australia, has been more blue, so more direct.
Okay, let me just take a photo of this so I can put that in the show notes so other people can follow
this person, and also maybe you can include a link to the full test if people are interested in taking that.
Do you want to learn how to edit podcast so you can edit podcast too?
I think I can do it.
Okay,
but recently I'm so busy.
Sure.
Okay. No, that's not what I'm going to talk about. It's just taking it out from this. So kind of following on from that, we talked about how the different nature versus nurture. Oh yeah, and then the next part is like, if we're trying to impress someone, if we're doing like a one-on-one meeting, Or if we know, like, for example, amongst the 20 audience that we have, there's one CEO that we're trying to impress with our talk. So if we want to figure out the dominant communication preference of that person that we're trying to impress, what are some of the techniques that we can use to suss it out in maybe the first few minutes that we meet them? Do you have any ideas? So she gave us a very simple strategy, and we can... it's adaptable as well. So it's more like, what kind of questions can you ask?
I'm trying to think. What do you like to drink?
When you meet someone at the, about that you're about to give a presentation to, you ask them, what do you like to drink? Before you do the presentation? I mean, do a similar...
I think the best question is, how was your day?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm
so
good at this.
I'm so good at this.
Her question was very similar. So her question was, how was your weekend? If it was like Monday, Tuesday, and then if it's later in the week, what do you have any plans for the weekend?
Okay.
And so based on your current understanding of the different communication preferences, what do you think each color will answer? What do you think the blues will say to that question?
The blue.
Yeah, to the question of how was your weekend or any plans for the weekend or how was your day?
How was my... It is very, very good been so far. Okay, good. I had something to drink, blah, 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 blah. And
this
it
is
was
a blue.
Yeah, blue.
Blue will tell you straight away.
Yeah, good.
This is the first conversation.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. And stop there.
Yeah.
That's the blue.
That's how I would say it because...
Same. Yeah, I'll be like, oh yeah, fine. How about you? Okay. How about the greens?
What's the green?
How? Greens are the mathematical.
Okay. It's been pretty busy because... da 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 da.
Kind of, but they tend to have a more logical flow of detail. So yes, they will do the... because the but also if you ask them, for example, a day or something that's related to time, they're more likely to describe the events and the details in terms of a timeline. So for example, they will go like, Sunday morning we went to this particular restaurant and then in the afternoon we did this. So they have some kind of structure and then very detailed places and things like that. What about the yellows?
What's the yellow?
The why, the visionary, the big picture people.
Yeah, it's been a very relaxing weekend. I went to town with my kids.
Yeah, they might not give you like the timeline and the details. They might not even mention the people. So because they won't describe that detail, they'll give you the big picture, right? So they might not describe things like who they were with or what particular place or the restaurant name they went to, for example, but they will give you a list of events. Like for example, oh, I did some grocery shopping. We went surfing, but they won't mention who are we. So sometimes I do the yellow thing as well.
This reminds me of something. I'll come back to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally the red.
Yeah,
of course, they will focus on
oh
people.
My God. Like, this has been so stressful. Have you got any idea about them getting my name wrong in the Starbucks?
you will not be able to stop the rest from going on and on about the day or the weekend. And they will, of course, mention their loved ones or people they spend time with. They will say exactly, oh, I met up with this friend that we haven't seen for ages. We met in primary school. We've been friends for 10 years. And we went to watch Barbie. And you know what? Right? So things like that.
In my primary school in Australia, we always had this session on Monday morning where the teacher asked everyone how was everyone's weekend. And all the kids volunteer to say something exciting about what happened like in their weekend.
Oh, and I dreaded that part.
Yeah, of course.
Because I always had nothing to say. So in the end, I just made things up. I just tell my teacher, oh, I went grocery shopping. And then she tries to press for more details. And then I say, I bought 3 bananas and 4 oranges.
Oh, no, I didn't do that because at the time, my English was already communicatable.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. And everyone else was like having fun, went to the countryside, went like jet ski or something like
that.
And I did Kumon. I did math worksheets.
Aww.
And my teacher always kind of wanted me to say something, right? I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, I didn't really do anything. It was like nothing at all. I was like, I played basketball with my dad and blah, blah, blah. And that's it. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. A lot of the kids really are in the red zone and they volunteer every single time. Yeah.
I can see why you feel like Australia is more red.
Yeah, because yeah. they value that kind of communicating style when they were young, right?
And also, so the person that was originally from Portugal, she said when her partner and her first moved here, they were very shocked by this Australian question of how was your weekend? Because
that's an Australian question?
Yeah, because you don't tend to get asked that by people from other cultural backgrounds.
Really?
They don't care about your weekend.
China.
They don't ask particularly don't ask what did you do on your weekend? Mm. How was your weekend? They don't ask that kind of stuff, right? Mm. So they got very stressed out by this question and they started having a improv answer, like they had prepared answer to say when that question comes up. So they can have that to go to straight away. So then we talked about that scenario as well. So people ask like, what if they don't like to, because this is first meeting, if you're trying to impress someone who you don't know, what if they just feel like they're not ready to share much details with you? We can't figure out based on their first answer. And also they can tap into the other preferences to answer you in a different style, and then you get it wrong, right? And you give the wrong presentation. So the thing is like, so she gave us another tip, which is, so if you want to make sure after the initial answer, you basically ask a follow-up question. So for example, like if you ask about their weekend, you can be like, oh, did you get up too much? So for example, especially for a blue person, if you want to be sure that they're definitely a blue and not just shy, then you ask a follow-up question like, did you get up too much? Or was there anything happening with da-da-da? Or like, if you know that person a little bit, then you can ask about like, how about the kids? Or how was da-da-da? How was like going to volunteering? You know, you ask something following up from your initial question to try to prime a little bit more, and then usually they will show their default preference in the follow-up question, which is very interesting. And this is something that you can definitely apply in your everyday life and just try it with people around you to figure out what their communication preferences are, which is very fun. You said you had something about the yellow. Did you say that already? Or was that about the primary school thing?
Yeah, the primary school thing. Okay. Yeah. In the office scenario, because it was my first time really working in the office, right? I had to get along with other teachers as well. And it was not by intention at all. The one thing that really broke the ice for me is also getting to know the other teachers as well, and and the opportunity for other teachers to know me as well, is doing a trivia quiz. Yeah. And
together?
Because one of the teachers, he's in a trivia quiz group every Wednesday night. So he always notes down those interesting questions and he share them with the rest.
Oh, that's so cute. Is he a red?
He's definitely not a red. He's definitely not the blue.
Oh,
he's a male teacher. I'll say. Can I just have the list again?
You can look at different pages.
I think he's a green.
Oh,
yeah.
More conserved, old fashioned.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you might have a lot of greens because green is English style.
Yeah.
Conserved, methodical, like not showing all of it because they're more, they're not risk takers and they tend to hide some things, but they're very,
definitely
their head is step by step.
Yeah, it's definitely in green. And we basically had a lot of questions and some teachers were very, like they know the question straight away. For example, like what brand of tennis ball is used in the US Open?
Whoa.
They're like, Wilson, definitely. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, how do you know that? Because I play tennis, blah, blah, blah. So they get to know me a bit. And there are some other questions which I did not know, and some people just knew it straight away, and they were like, how did you know that question straight away? And they were like, yeah, because I had da-da-da-da-da-da. So trivia question is a very good, because people like to have this kind of
connection.
Yeah. And yeah.
Aww, that's so cute. I'm so wholesome. Now I want to go to some trivia quizzes. We were trying to organize a trivia night as a group for this student working group that I'm in. And then
it's actually really fun.
Because of the disruptions last year, we didn't do it. And now, because we skipped the last one, now the group is like not very enthusiastic. And now I feel like I'm actually kind of curious to see what that would be like.
One of the questions was really good. Who is the most listened Spotify artist ever?
Huh? Ever?
Yep.
No idea. Taylor Swift?
She is up there. Yeah, that's what I guessed. She's on the top three, I think.
Whoa.
But she is not the first. And the group by the teacher, they guessed Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
But that was on the top 10.
Yeah.
I actually did not guess that. I guessed the Beatles and the Taylor Swift.
Okay.
But no.
Who is it then?
I can't remember. N&M.
Great,
I think.
Ending.
N&M.
Really?
No, okay. Let me just look it up. Who is the most listened artist on Spotify? Drake.
Oh.
By far.
What?
I don't know.
Well, I'm not one of his listeners.
I haven't even listened to one Drake song, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have listened to one on passing, but not actively seeking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Well, anyways, coming back to the communication thing, like the last aspect of this, like the last takeaway we should consider is, again, applying this knowledge to our everyday communication or when we want to do it effectively in a work situation. So we basically need to know two things. One is like, what are the shortcomings of our preferred style that we should try to avoid? Like, for example, blue people being too rigid, too ruthless, too short-term, too cold. To calculating and limited by the need for proof or evidence to back things up.
Yeah, for the blue people, I do feel like you will get in a lot of situations where you have an awkward silence.
Because people don't get it?
No, it's because you're out of things to talk about. Like if you just met someone, you just...
Oh, you're talking about like casual conversation.
Yeah, conversation. You'll get a lot of situations where you just have a dead silence because you're kind of like, yeah, I kind of know everything now.
Yeah. Or like, I don't really think outside the box. I just get to the point about this particular thing and done. Yeah. I know what you mean. One thing... Yeah, so it's nice to always have that commonality thing, like to find a few talking points.
I think you need some of all the things and you'll be good.
Like, yeah, be definitely. Yeah. You need some of all the things. But yeah, these are the key things that the blue people should look out for. And for the yellow, it's being too impulsive, being unfocused, being rash, being oblivious of deadlines, which is me as well, like just going on and on in tangents, being vague or being given to tangents.
Okay.
So, one thing was like, when we talked about the careers, a person asked like, what was the thing? Oh, when we talked about careers, there were two like key things that were mentioned. Firstly is like, if you are trying to build your own team, for example, for a startup company or just any of your own team, you want to have a well-rounded team. You don't want a team that's focused too much on one particular aspect because then you wouldn't be able to expand and reach an audience,
that's what teams are for, right?
Yeah. But then the thing about having a well-rounded team is that two things will tend to happen. The first is that your teammates will have communication clashes because they come, yep. they will have opposite preferences.
Yes.
And you as the leader need to be capable or prepared in the event of that happening, be able to
lubricate.
Yeah. Or like
mediate.
Yeah, like you just need to educate your team and be like, it's okay to have disagreement, but it's not a disagreement of ideas. It's rather a disagreement of communication style,
yeah.
most likely. Because people that you recruit on a team ideally will believe in the same thing and want the same benefit, want to move
exactly.
together.
In because one. They're fighting because they care, right?
Exactly, yeah. So the second thing that could happen is like you might be boxing people too much into one color and not letting them expand, because like we mentioned at the beginning, every person is unique and complex. They will have all of the different colors at different times, or just always. So you need to be careful not to box people into a certain category and only give them tasks that they are good at, which is difficult, I guess, because difficult to kind of manage or foresee that kind of situations. I feel like
people will say, what's the point?
Yeah, I feel like I don't know, when I started hearing these discussions, which went quite deep, I was definitely sitting there and thinking, wow, this is so hard, like how do I build a team? But then again, this is also very relevant because hopefully, yeah, we can be independent researchers and have our own teams one day and all of that.
Yeah.
Where was I going with this? Yeah. So not only that you have to be careful with like not boxing someone into their own colors, but you also need to make sure that they definitely can shine in what they're good at.
Mm.
This is not applying just to communication preferences, I feel like, but also just to their talents and specialties in yeah. other areas, aspects.
Talking about that,
yeah,
there are, for athletes, there are two different types. The first type of athletes is those that were, when they were young, they have tried a lot of sports and they result to one. For example, like a lot of
your dad. Sorry.
Federer.
Right.
Federer, Rafa, they played a lot of sports. Like they played basketball, soccer, baseball, ski, and everything, and they finally stick to tennis. There's also a minority of athletes that started with that one sport and stick
never
to that sport, never tried anything else. For example, like Tiger Woods. But people find by research, those that have tried everything tend to perform better and longevity-wise in terms of their career, outside of their career, for example, like Fei Wen, those type of stuff. Yeah, because they have basically...
Scandal?
Yeah. For example, like, look at Tiger Woods.
Oh, no. Maybe you mean like just the person themselves, like integrity and just like their own well-being, for their own welfare.
Like as a person wise.
Yeah.
You get a much better athlete overall if the athlete has tried a lot of different things when they were young.
Yeah. Makes sense. It's like, it's almost like they've explored and have worked with different people and different communication preferences or different personalities, different strengths, and they've seen the world. It's just the fact that they understand that there are things beyond what they do that will make them not only a better athlete, but also a better person.
That is what I think a lot of Chinese athletes lack. Because
they get trained at a young age. And
they get trained at a young age and they are very, very box-minded. And that's why Lang Ping was such a good coach, because she is the one that said to the volleyball players, volleyball is like, it's not your life. Go get a boyfriend. Go on dates. Be pretty. You are, first of all, a woman. You are a woman first. And then you just happen to be a volleyball player. You want to dedicate your time for the sport. That's my job, for you to get trained and not get injured. And I'll set the tactics. But for you, you need to train well during training. But after that, this is not your life. Go get something to.
Yeah. Now that I think of it, I feel like a lot of the most impressive
athletes
people,
have a
not
really,
only athletes.
Yeah, have a very colorful life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they've tried many things and they have just a wealth of experiences.
Exactly. That is what Chinese athletes are lacking of, because that is their whole entire thing.
Yeah.
And if you look at Australian athletes and American athletes.
Yeah, and mentally as well. I can think, like, if they dedicated their whole life and this is all they know.
Pressure
there's
as
so
well.
Much, exactly. Yeah. There's so much mental strain put on to each game, probably, that they are more likely to crack.
Mm.
Aww.
Yeah, and if you look at Djokovic, like, people can argue that if he is the greatest player of all time, but he does have the most titles and everything. And he's like, my training routine is 1 hour of tennis every single day. And the rest is spending time with my family. I play soccer, and like just take care of my body. I do yoga, Pilates and everything and training my mind as well. So
you need to be holistic.
Exactly. There is no
well-rounded humans, guys.
Yep.
This is the training arc for everyone.
Yes.
Conclusion. Well, continue on. Just in case you're agreeing, the things that you should watch out are not to be controlling, not to be nitpicking or bossy or boring or stuck in a rut, old-fashioned, tend to be like the weaknesses of green people. And for red people, be careful not to be overly sensitive or needy or unbusinesslike. Basically, don't be too personally attached to whatever comments that you receive and whatever things that you're talking about. Be not to be too sentimental, soft touch and too talkative as well. So basically, from painting this whole picture of the different colors that we've talked through, there are I hope that everyone can understand like some of the things that you can try to relate to, try to
we have said something that people can relate to and can help them to improve their communication.
No. What I'm trying to say is like, because we've defined these four categories, this is basically how you can adapt those things to make it a tool to get to people of any color.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, for example, if you want to impress a blue, you need to be direct and factual. And to impress a green, you need to provide the details and be very practical. And to impress a yellow, so you need to show them your ability to be a visionary, to bring out the big picture and to be risk-taking and imaginative.
The CEOs, basically.
Actually.
No, really. Like,
no,
this is how
we
they
talked about this. So the venture capitalists are the greens, but the startup idea people are the
yellows.
Yellows.
Yeah. Just imagine what Steve Jobs is doing on the stage. This is the vision for Apple 20. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's
a yellow.
Definitely, he's a yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I hired the best minds. Why would I need to think of the stuff? I get them to think of the stuff for me.
Who's the green that made Apple what it is then?
Wozniak. No. Steve.
No, Wozniak.
Yeah. It's definitely Steve. Yeah.
Wozniak.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the first to actually.
Step guy.
Yeah. He was the coder for the first Apple computer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and finally, if you want to get to the rest, you need to add in the humility factor. Humanity factor.
Humility.
Human factor.
Yeah.
You need to be very good listener. You need to show that you can understand the needs and benefits and the stakes for everyone involved on the team. You just, need to be supportive.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Mm.
And I'm dreading next week, because next week we actually need to prepare a talk.
Good luck.
And get feedbacks and try to cover all these aspects.
Oh, you actually have homework for workshops.
Yeah. But this is tailored towards a short talk that we will actually do on the 18th of August. Mm. So it's preparing us for that.
Okay.
So yeah. Gotta do some work.
Yeah. For me, I just... Yeah, this week has been tiring for me as a teacher.
That's because you haven't had enough sleep.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Sleep is so important.
No, it's also... Yeah, that's true. And I had to do a lot of new stuff. For example, I did a lot of pracs with my classes. And it's very, very stressful when you're giving year sevens microscopes that are very expensive. And yeah, and I had a I had to supervise a volleyball, three volleyball matches on Saturday.
And
the coach did not come. So I have to coach... And I had to coach and supervise at the same time.
And?
It was... And we won. I'm happy with that.
Exactly.
No, it's... And but one other thing is... So I supervised the year sevens first.
Mm-hmm.
And after the year sevens games, we won 2-1. And one of the parents came and he basically said, my son has been sitting on the bench for the entire game. Clearly not. Okay. And he has not. He was.
Year seven?
Year seven.
Okay.
And he was away last week. So I'm not sure what you have against my son. And, but I don't know how you are going to coach their kids, these kids, but my son definitely did not get enough game time this week. You should definitely take that into consideration next time.
Ooh.
I'm like, I'm really sorry. I'm not the coach. I don't really know their kids really well. But we do a 5-1 rotation. Your son wants to be a lib. So that's why he is always at the back line. I didn't say the last part. Okay, yeah. I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm not the coach. So I don't know the kids that well. I let them really rotate by themselves. And if they want to play, they can tell me and they can go on. Okay. Yeah. But after that comment, I didn't really take that comment into account because we won the game and all the kids had really good fun.
Mm.
Maybe not that kid particular because he definitely has said something to the dad. Like he felt like he didn't get enough game time or it was the dad basically drove a long way from home and saw that kids did not get enough play and he's kind of, you know, being whiny about it because that's what... My supervisor, he just said that happened to a lot of the parents. So you don't need to care about that comment at all. So yeah. And then after the next two games, I basically, because for me, I have a very competitive mindset. I want to win. And the kids want to win as well. But after that comment, I kind of deviated my mindset a little bit. I win the first two games. So because it's best out of three, okay? So I play my hardest at the first two games. And the third game, I'm like, well done, guys. We won the game already because there's more time left so we can play the third set. So now is your time to have fun. You can try different stuff, do something stupid. I don't really mind. Yeah, and that's it.
Change your strategy to make everyone happy.
Yeah, I don't think I did anything wrong for the year sevens. It was a rotation. No.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, especially since you never... This is your first time doing this.
Exactly. I'm not there for coaching.
Yeah, you're not.
I'm doing this for free, guys.
So, yeah, obviously the parent, if he hasn't noticed that, that means he didn't pay much attention anyways, right? Like, if he hadn't even noticed that you are not the coach, then I don't think he has that much credibility to make that comment. But, of course, I also understand that as a parent, he probably wants their kid to have, to have more game time. Definitely.
This is one of the things I had to think about. Because in Australia, we always, like if you do a sport, we always focus on, okay, you're getting involved to have fun, right? That's also a lot of high school sports that I did when I was in high school. I was in a basketball team. Even though some of the kids are not good at basketball, the coach tried to put them to have game time, right?
Okay.
Because they want everyone to get involved.
To have a term.
Yeah. Right. But in Asian countries, for example, like China, Japan, those type of stuff, you can have fun. You can try different things. You can show the coach what you are capable of during practice time. But if it's game time, it's serious.
Right.
I have that mindset because, you know, for me, playing a match is not, it's not just about having fun. It's also about the competitiveness. It's also about the your mentality of wanting to win and hating to lose, and as well as showing the respect to the opponents. Because if you're not playing your best, you're not respecting your opponent.
But do you think maybe the mindset here by default is not about winning?
Yes, it is.
More
like.
About- Yeah, so maybe the opponent is also just getting everyone involved and not that serious about winning.
Yeah, but I do feel like that as a competitor, they spending the time with my team or me to playing against me. They spending the time. I need to respect them, right?
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's situational. So sometimes if your opponent is very serious, it makes you want to be serious as well.
Yeah, that's why the coach was pretty fired up.
Yeah.
So,
like, he saw you taking it seriously, and then he started taking
it because some of the kids, Australian sports in high school, they are not very serious about it.
They don't
teach the techniques. They don't teach.
I mean, especially for your school, because this is compulsory. They have to play no matter what. They have to play some sport no matter what.
So? Like, if you play it right.
Yeah, I understand the argument from both sides, I guess.
This is my way of playing sports.
Yeah, it's difficult to balance. I wonder what the kids think, though. I wonder how they feel after winning games. Do they want to be more competitive as well, or do they still want the enjoyment factor more?
The reason why I have this mindset, because this is a very competitive school to get in. And all the kids are very competitive in terms of academic success. They were like, even if the bottom class, they are not giving up to have a beef with the first class. So I thought that competitive mindset is ingrained in them. That's why I thought, you know, it's very great athletes have that mindset, right? They need to
have a desire for win. Otherwise, everyone
wants to win, but those that are the top is the one that hate to lose the most.
Okay.
That's what I find. Because Djokovic and Nadal, they hated losing. If they lost, they will be sad for like a week, and they don't want to feel that way again. So it is not about how much you like winning, it's about how much you hate losing. Do you hate a losing? You don't, right? You can be okay with. Okay.
But depends on for what, right? If it's something that I know I don't care much about, then of course I don't care much about losing either. But if it's something that
You haven't played a lot of sports, competitive sports.
Yeah, but I can apply that mindset elsewhere. It's more like, if I care a lot about making this particular thing work and it hasn't, I will feel like I've failed myself. Like, I know I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is the mindset, even though it's not good, but this is the mindset that can push you to improve, right? Because you hate the fact that you're failing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying failing is bad. Failing is definitely good. It's a free lesson, right? That's what I think.
Interesting. Well, I've also had a long week of many ups and downs. I don't even know where to begin. It was a crazy week of officially starting the final set of experiments for my PhD. Since Monday, and it's been long hours. Well, I don't know, we've had this thing that I've been optimizing for at least a year now, just myself, not including the previous work that people preceding me have done. So it's been a long time, and we're finally here, and I start doing it, and first two, like, yeah, I encountered two issues that I've never had before. And so it was a crazy week about me getting everything under control, taking a high risk manipulation to the protocol, and my gamble, I won.
No less.
And I got it working yesterday. Got some good results finally. And amongst all that, I had my 24th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We had dinner.
Yes, we had dinner.
Fancy dinner.
I had to take my cat to the vet and had to make the decision to bring her to surgery next week, a biopsy surgery, to get some biopsies of some masses that's been growing on her eyelid. Her vet has been saying that he's cautiously optimistic about the situation, but yeah, I'm just not liking the idea of putting her under general anesthetic again because of the potential risks and things like that, but we'll see. I'm being on top of it this time because I don't want this to be something to regret later.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just there's a lot of things on
there. I think we're doing everything we can. I think we don't know if it's good, really good for her, if it's bad for her. We don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
It's very difficult to make decision for other
people that can't talk. Come on, Peppa, talk to us.
I think to make decision for any other living creature, right? Like, I don't know, it's just, you feel like you want to be able to act in their best interest, but you don't really know what their best interests are sometimes. It goes for animals, and it also goes for your loved ones. Which are, can be your animals as well.
Oh, I had a highlight of last week.
Not the three matches? Not the three wins?
No way. Those matches were like, you have to win this.
My highlight was definitely taking the high-risk decision for my experiment, and then it worked.
My highlight was my year 11s, they're at the bottom class, but they are pretty motivated and looking for success academically. they didn't really like chemistry because chemistry wasn't explained to them really well.
Oh, yeah.
So we are on the topic of enthalpies, entropies, Gibbs free energy, calculation-based type of chemistry. Those bits tend to get most people confused. So I prepared a lot to make sure that I explain everything really, really clearly. And they can follow my examples and they know what to do. Because it's basically physics, math, right? For that bit of calculations. Like if they understand, they can calculate, they can subs the formulas in, they should be fine, right?
Yeah.
But most importantly, they need to know the concepts, right? But all of them are working at their own pace through the questions, and they were like, oh my God, I'm getting this. chemistry is actually, what's their word of saying this?
So the here's Gen Z one?
Well, the Gen Z 2 now, right? were like, yeah, chem is lit.
You can't even remember.
Yeah, I'm getting old. Yeah, chem is fire. I don't know, something like that. Because right now, chem is their best subject because they get the most of it, which was my highlight.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so cute. So you'll be with this class for a semester?
No, I'll be with them for end of this term. And then the year 11s go into year 12 straight away in term 4. So all the classes will get shuffled based on their final exams again.
Oh, so just one term?
Yeah.
Oh, and you don't know
all of them.
Yeah, so it's such a short time.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they do like my teaching style because other teachers, some other teachers forces them to write down notes and stuff during their lessons.
Oh, that's so...
I'm like, I'll email you the notes. Guys, stop writing. Just listen to me when I'm talking. Yeah. Just comprehend during class. Yeah. I'll email you all the notes. And just like if you need anything written down or get a copy of what I said, email me and I'll send it to you.
Yeah. And that's much, much better.
Yeah. And all of the teachers, most of the teachers.
And that's basically the way we learn in lectures in uni.
Mm.
Because we have recordings and backup copies of all the resources. Exactly. Or we can ask them for that resource. And so the most efficient thing is just literally to just pay attention.
Mm.
Yeah, something I should talk to my students about as well.
and I always... what else did I say? Yeah, because that part, that unit for the exam is...
Because you know that... I'm sorry to cut in. But you know that Chinese saying, like, 好记性不如烂笔头?
Yeah.
It keeps popping up in my mind because the current student I'm supervising literally writes everything I say when we have a conversation. Mm. When I really just want her to focus on what I'm saying.
What's the chance of she is ever going to read that notes again, to be honest?
Exactly. Especially to the extent of writing so much, right? And then you miss out on the time to actually comprehend and be interactive, to tap into the higher order thinking that's more important to understand and be able to do the kind of stuff.
Exactly. Comprehension is the most time consuming thing when you're learning something, not the memorizing bits.
Yeah. No, actually, the pyramid of the different learning, I think I talked about this sometime ages ago. But it's like, yeah, the higher order thinking skills are the one beyond understanding, actually. It's more about synthesizing, comparing, applying, generating new things, right? So those kind of things, if you want to be able to tap into the higher order things, you need to go beyond. You need to stop letting yourself be stuck at the lower level stuff.
And because I wrote the exam part for this topic, and I said to all the students, I know that you are doing the calculations really, really well now, okay? You're going to be fine with the calculations. I can see it. But in my exam, in this part of the exam, 50% is the calculation based. 50% is concept based, okay? And you need to make sure that you get why you're doing this, okay? Not just
learning.
Yeah, like memorizing. Follow me because I draw the hulu and then you trace the hulu, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, have you been through all the contents in the class? I was like, yes, I've definitely been through all the contents that's been tested on the exam, but it will be different. For example, like I've taught you 1 plus 1 equals to 2, 1 plus 2 equals to 3, but the exam might be what is 2 plus 3, okay? So you need to go for the extra step.
Challenging.
Because it's Sydney grammar. We have to make the final question impossible for the students to...
How do you know what is the correct difficulty level? Especially since for like working with them for such a short time.
This is the exam for the entire year. So I can't just tailor the exam really easily.
Wait, you get to make the test for the entire year?
Yeah, for that
by
topic.
By yourself? Oh.
For that topic. Huh. And there are four topics. So
wait,
four
what
teachers.
What about the other teachers? Oh, four they other take each.
Yeah. And then we get together during a meeting. Okay. And then we do each other's questions. And then we figure out, this is okay, this is fine, this needs some changes.
Huh. So each of you will do the question for one topic?
Yeah, we'll make the questions for one topic.
Yeah, but you teach the entire thing.
Yeah, and most of the questions are going to be from the past HSC papers, but mine's are not.
Oh,
mine's are from the IB banks.
Okay.
Yeah. Because IB questions are better than HSC questions.
I think so. They're more focused on conceptual stuff and application.
Yes.
Higher order thinking, guys.
Yeah. And I really like those questions because for the concepts, it's really hard to get to test out the concept. For example, A is 1.
Mm.
Okay. If you just assign 1 mark to that statement, it's too much. Okay, but you can't award a half a point, right? Mm. But for IB has this thing, is like statement 1, statement 2, statement 3. Which one of the followings are correct? 1, 2 is correct for A, B is 1, 3 is correct for B, and 1, 2, 3 are all correct, or C or D is none of them are correct.
Mm.
Those ones, you're testing three statements at for 1 point.
Mm.
I like those kinds.
Okay, wow, so cruel.
I need to.
I don't want
to
be in your class anymore.
No, all of the questions are not that hard. Yeah. All right. For the teachers, okay. But for the students to only being taught, oh, maybe they're a bit challenging.
Good luck.
Mm.
I wish they can do well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, I look forward to hearing more updates next week.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, and leave us comments. We'll reply them until we are sick of them. We won't get sick of them.
No, we won't get sick of them until we're not. I don't think we'll ever get to the point to have that many comments. But yeah,
you're not optimistic about our podcast at all.
No, it's not about optimism. It's just my personal goal for this podcast is not related to numbers as such. Yeah, I just want to be authentic on this podcast. That's all that matters. Yeah.
Mm.
And maybe I'm not optimistic about myself. I'm not optimistic that people will like me.
Most of our listeners are from America and Germany.
Oh, hi.
Hi. That's our Spotify listeners. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think, again, like, my, yeah, it just goes back to what I want to get out of it. It's not about, what is it about? I think really, like, my number one priority is just to be authentic.
Mm.
Yeah, and share the things that I want to share.
Mm.
And if I can reach some people along the way, great. If I don't, that's fine. Mm. So I don't take it as a high priority.
Which is the reason why I do the editing and everything.
But also, having said that, I'm very, very grateful for people who actually listen to me talk about random stuff.
Exactly. I can't imagine 100 people listen to me.
Exactly. Me too. Yeah, me neither. So I'm super, super grateful if you're listening to this. And very grateful for anyone that wants to leave a comment. I'll definitely reply to this.
Exactly. And we have a pretty high completion rate for listening.
Aww.
Yeah, people sticks around.
Maybe they fall asleep to our podcast.
Yeah,
maybe this is bedtime story.
Good bedtime story. All right, thanks guys for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much again, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.